All right, welcome to another edition of the Just Swinging Podcast. My name is John Burrell. I am joined with Fat Baby Funds. How's everything going?
Going well, just staying busy at work and then working on my home, playing some speed chess, you know, the normal stuff, getting ready for football season too. That's exciting.
Yeah, I've been on a wild volatility trip with my eval and or with my rating in chess. I've had some struggles and I fought back and I fell back down and came back up, and so been really trying to get above 1100 on the 5 minute time frame, but still just at 1000. I've been fluctuating about 100 points, it seems like.
Yeah, the same thing happens for me. But I'm at this point, I basically play daily with you and Bullet, a lot of Bullet. So I'm up to like fluctuating between 900 and 1,000 in Bullet. So getting up there slowly but surely.
Yeah, Bullet is, it can be nerve-wracking for sure, especially, are you, I guess it's like 1 minute games or something like that.
Yeah, I do the straight 1 minute games.
Yeah, those are tough. I got my Bullet up to just over 11, and then I just kind of went through all the categories just trying to get it over 11. Finally got my daily over 11, and now I'm working on the Blitz. I know, your daily is pushing 1200, I believe.
Yeah, but you're the only one I play.
I got you. Yeah, you got I think you're up like three or four wins on me on the daily there. So I've been trying to play a few probably like two or three games on at one time, but yeah, that's been fun. Talking about football, I know a lot of fantasy leagues are starting up. I like the idea of playing fantasy, but it doesn't seem like I have a whole lot of time to play it. So I always do very poorly because I forget to do things or I don't log in. But it's definitely more fun watching games when you are playing fantasy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just sort of the perfect setup. It's so random and frustrating and great. It's everything.
It's has a lot of I guess. In common with the stock market as far as random and frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. The only difference is it's a sort of quicker feedback. So the stock market is sort of like a slow grind, where fantasy football, like you're high 1 week and low the next, and you got the whole weekly cadence. And when you're playing the stock market, you're sort of playing it for like a decade.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, definitely fun things to be into. And those event-based things. I was hearing that they may come out with some futures products that are more event-based, whether it be around politics or sports or something like that. So that'd be interesting to see the financial markets having products that are event-based, but I do think that it encourages more gambling than it does investing or trying to diversify your portfolio into something that can actually make you money or gamble. But it's definitely interesting to see how markets have evolved over time and all the different platforms and opportunity that's came, like with crypto and even these event-based futures that may be to come very shortly.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting development if that does come. Oh.
Yeah, that is going to be the wild, wild west. But I guess let's get into markets here a little bit. It's been a pretty wild week. We got above trend a little bit on the S&P 500, and then the last couple days of the market being open, we is got absolutely hammered, and we're back below trend. Trend right now is 4,184 on the SPX, or not the SPX, actually on the S&P 500 futures, which the prices are very close, but it's around that 4,180 level. And Oil is back near trend. It's at 93.66. Trend is just under $95. We've seen a lot of volatility, which is typical when something is going above and below trend levels. You see that volatility, and it's actually pretty good trading markets in crude oil. We're still favoring that to the short side, under 95, and closing out anything that goes above 95. But when you get a big down day, you got to take advantage of it, because with the volatility coming into the market, the volatility is to the upside as well. So you definitely don't want to get ran over in shorting oil. Go into gold. Gold is currently at 1758. Its trend is still above 1800. So it's been trending down recently. So something we've been keeping an eye on. It did have a pretty big day today, which helped, but it's still pretty much making lower lows since it was very close to making its all-time high back in March, at the beginning of March. So gold's an interesting one right now. The 10-year bond is over 3%. That's a very interesting market. They've been a lot of volatility in bonds, which some of that's starting to come out, but we're still at a very lower bond prices and higher yields compared to where we've been since the pandemic levels. Bitcoin is still a bearish trend. It's at 21,500. It's had some volatility come back into that market, and it's been fluctuating a little more like it had been a couple months ago, but still very correlated with the broad equity markets, especially with the sell-off that we had the last couple of days. But it is definitely something that is intriguing to a lot of people that I've seen online, as far as it being relatively cheap to historical numbers, and then also that it's held up compared to the broader crypto market. But that's basically the overall of the general the market. Do you have any thoughts on the overall stock market or the Bitcoin market, about where it could be heading?
No, I mean, just overall, it's a bouncy market, and that's sort of what I expect to continue happening, especially with a lot of the uncertainty going around. I mean, Bitcoin, I got no idea what it's going to do in the short term. In the long term, I'm still bullish. I still see the asymmetric upside. But in the short term, I think a lot of the leverage has been washed out. But 20K is a key price point. It's sort of been battling for a while. So I wouldn't be shocked if it broke lower than that, if the pressure keeps on coming. So something overall that I'm just sort of watching, but I'm more watching the overall market and trying to see what's going on with that than worrying too much about the short term.
Yeah, and that's interesting. It does seem like that 20 level is kind of an important level. Do you think if it breaks below 20 with a little bit of momentum behind it, do you think that it'll fall much more than 20, or do you think we're kind of at a bottom here?
Yeah, I mean, historically, with the way Bitcoin is traded, its previous high is sort of its next low, and so that's where it is right now. So if it's following that historical trend, that's where it's at. But I still got to believe there's a ton of leverage in Bitcoin right now. A lot has washed out, but you can just look at what Mike Saylor is doing and everything like that. There's still a lot of leverage out there in the Bitcoin community. And because of that, when you get some moves that can break, I think there's a big push. I don't think any of the Bitcoin maximalists wants to see it significantly below 20K. But when you got those leverages, a quick, sharp move can become a large, sharp move.
Yeah, and it's what he's been doing as far as leverage goes, and also what he's been advocating for other people to do as far as mortgaging things and borrowing to buy Bitcoin, and definitely has made the market more volatile. I think he was a big proponent in that leverage, as well as the other different brokers that were not really brokers, but the different exchanges that's came out and gave people leverage and just across the market. But I do think that the derivative markets do help a product, especially with like maybe some of the Bitcoin futures and stuff. It allows for people to have leverage in a better way than maybe the leverage that they're offering on the exchanges or that people are using credit cards for. Futures is a much better way to leverage a product that doesn't have the implications that some of these other types of leverages have as far as people taking on debt and things. So, yeah, I do think that Bitcoin being around that 21 level, that 20 level was like its previous high before its huge run up before the pandemic. That it had before a lot of these other coins existed. So I do think that this is, like you said, an important level for Bitcoin. So it'll be curious to see what it does from here. And it has been hanging around right in this area for a little while. Anything going on in the markets that has caught your eye or has maybe caused you to make a position or take a trade?
I have been playing around a little bit. I've got some TSM inputs on the semiconductors and just a still an expensive industry. When I was playing around with it, IV wasn't that high, and with everything going on with China to Taiwan, that was just sort of a random play I was doing. But overall, I'm still just keeping a close eye on inflation overall. I was listening to some interesting stuff today talking about how inflation, there's a lot of components of inflation that are sticky, like rent, owner-occupied rent, all those different things that can play into the different inflation numbers. Those are the kind of things that are lagging indicators. So the expectation that we just hit peak inflation, everything's going to go down. I think a lot of times we think of inflation as oil at this point because oil's been such a big driver. But the housing market is still crazy hot. It's still super high, and it's one of those things that's a bit of a sticky kind of inflation, and it just sort of continues to drag on, and it's sort of a lagging indicator on that end. So it was sort of saying that they were expecting continued inflation in the 9%, and that this month wasn't necessarily the peak.
Yeah, that's interesting because, the Fed and the media really pushed that inflation was transitory for a very long time, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, now it's going to continue to go higher and higher. And like you said, it probably, I would say that we're somewhere around a peak just because I think the economy is going to slow down and some of the demand's going to come off. But like you said, I don't think that it's just going to nosedive back down. It'll probably stay at a elevated level, but I don't know that on a percent basis it continues to climb, especially when you compare like year over year numbers.
Yeah, and I mean, I think between housing and overall the wages, I think it could stay up for a while. We called up G. What you got?
Hey, first of all, let me say, Fat Baby fan, so I definitely got to throw that out there. And also, I wanted to get you guys' take on two things that are happening now, and I don't know historically how what's going on right now weighs on what happened in history, but one, I want to bring up the money printing, and is there a dilution of the currency? And is that in turn, if the currency goes down, that means that everything that was being held by the currency would go down. I'm wondering if you guys are factoring any of that in, because I know that there's a lot of movement with global currencies, with the global conflicts and monetary policies and global deficits. And then also the last thing I'll throw in there is with cryptocurrency, and I won't favor one or the other, although I will consider myself more leaning toward being a Bitcoin maxi. The fact that there is a global asset where people can take money from their governments and now put liquid into these cryptocurrency markets. I'm wondering if these are going to play into the stock market, and I just wanted to hear you guys' take on those things.
Yeah, I mean, with the money printing, it's hard. When I've looked at inflation historically, it's very hard to get a read of what's going on, because a key portion of the inflation is the volatility, but not volatility, the speed of the velocity of which the money's changing hands. So you have the amount of money that's being printed, and then the velocity that is changing hands are the two key drivers of inflation. And then on top of that, there's all the supply chain impacts of that can inflict and impact inflation as well. So when you're looking at those three, we've been printing money for so long, it's hard to tell exactly how big of an impact that will have. So with that one, I've always looked at it, and I've just thrown my hands up in the air because I can't make heads or tails of it when I'm looking at the macro economy, because the velocity of money does play such a big role, and it's been falling for so long, offsetting a lot of the government's printing of money. So, and everything they're doing on the balance sheet, it's all so complicated. I don't know if, John, you got any takes on that.
Yeah, I think you have to split the inflation into two different camps, because you have domestic inflation, which is the price of goods that go up within the United States. And then you also have to look at the dollar versus the other currencies. And right now, the dollar is super strong versus the other currencies. So even though we have very high inflation domestically within the United States, globally or internationally, abroad, other currencies are going down faster than the U.S. dollar. So if you look at, I'm going to try to pull up a reference, like if you look at a dollar index or the dollar versus the yen or a few other currencies, you're seeing that the dollar is gaining value. And that's what's complicated about this, is that there's so many different viewpoints and so many different ways to look at it. It really depends on what you're trying to do. Are you trying to make a play on your money devaluing, because that's more of a domestic thing, because the demand, and like say when the government print a lot of money and they're handing out money locally and they're printing out money and checks to give to everybody, that's going to cause inflation here in the States, where it's not going to cause inflation so much in other countries. It definitely plays a factor in the amount of money supply that's out there. But if a lot of the money is locked up within the financial economy within the United States, that money isn't really getting out to other places in other countries. So right now, when we buy from other countries, we can buy more stuff from them if our dollar's stronger. And we get better exchange rates for the dollar. And the euro is at like 20, well, I think like around 20-year lows versus the dollar. So our currency is super strong, and actually it's like disinflationary when you look at it globally. But here in the United States, we're experiencing a lot of inflation across a lot of different products and services. So I would say, you, as far as like trading or investing, you definitely have to invest and put your money to work to fight against inflation, because the dollars you're working for today is not going to buy you the same amount of goods today as it will tomorrow. It'll be less goods. So you definitely have to fight inflation as an investor, trader, or someone that's just within the United States, in my opinion. But when you look at the dollar versus the other currencies, it's very strong and it's going up in value. So it's very weird to see, you know, it's relative to what you're talking about, but it is a very complicated mess when it comes to what you think asset prices are going to do when everything is priced in dollars, especially abroad. But where it separates is those dollars may not affect you know, when it comes to things that's across seas like it does here.
No, that was definitely helpful. Thank you, guys. I definitely appreciate that. I'll leave with a hot take. I think of all the companies that are the big companies right now, Uber will be one that ceases to exist. I think with the competitors of DoorDash on Uber Eats and Lyft, which has made a name for itself as an alternate Uber, but just slightly cheaper, and you know, ride sharing in general, taking whatever turn that does when, you know, Tesla winds up unveiling their automobiles or wherever ride sharing technology winds up going in itself. That's a company that really hasn't been profitable, and I never really liked it from a investor standpoint. So I'm very curious, and that's something that's been on my watch list to see how that winds up playing out over time, because we've seen some giants fall in history.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got no horses in the race, but DoorDash has always interested me. I just can't own the stock yet because I'm just not sure on the unit economics and don't want to make that mistake again. But they've kicked Uber's butt. Uber should have won that race. Uber should have dominated that race. They already had the network effects. They had everything. And DoorDash has dominated them. It's when you look at the data, it's absurd how fast DoorDash came in and took over that market and how fast they're entering new markets and everything like that. So I'm sort of an Uber bear as well. They do have some interesting portions of their business called Uber Freight that I haven't looked too much at. But I'm bearish on the ride hailing, and I'm bearish on their food delivery business. A lot of the Uber bears have been Uber bulls have been talking up that Uber Freight, but I haven't had a chance to look at that.
Definitely got to check that out. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, Uber's definitely been killed in the last year or so. I mean, coming from a high of around $60 to where it currently sits in the $27.80 range. So it's bearish trend as far as my trading or investing goes. So definitely something that I'm not long of as well. As far as fundamental things, I don't really know a whole lot about Uber, except that they really don't have anything special when you look at, other than their branding and what they've already been able to create. But anyone essentially can make an app that does what their app does, from my understanding of it. And you have Lyft and other competitors to what you guys are saying. So I really don't see anything proprietary or that great about Uber, as far as, you know, they just took an old industry and put it on your phone, basically. And I think it's a good idea. I don't know if it'll, you know, how long it'll be around, but definitely them being profitable is a major concern. And they're eventually going to have to be profitable or they will go away.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What else you got, John?
I don't really have anything else as far as the broad market goes or crypto or anything like that. I haven't really kept up with the news a whole lot this week. As far as trading goes, I made a little bit of money on shorting the S&P 500 futures at the end of last week. Should have held that position a lot longer because we had that huge down move on, I think it was on Friday, but I only had a portion of it. So I got out way too early, didn't make nearly as much money as I should have. But the way this market has is it's continuously been going up the last month. So definitely wanted to take profits early, but missed out on a huge run down. This market had been very resilient to the downside for a while until now. So I do think that the markets are going to go lower as far as S&P 500 goes, and definitely staying out of that market until it goes bullish trend again. But as far as news goes, haven't really heard a lot of anything, and some of the steam and volatility had been contracting. And it's funny, when you see volatility contracting in the market, you also see You also see the awareness and people not really engaging with financial news, commentary, and platforms, podcasts and stuff. So you see numbers falling out when volatility of the VIX falls, which is interesting. But as doing media or social, you know, any social media around the stock market, you see numbers decline when volatility is out with some of the excitement.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. I just want to piggyback on, because I wouldn't consider myself cryptocurrency or blockchain expert or specialist, but I'm definitely working toward that. I'm doing a lot less trading, more informing myself on what's going on. And I listened to Mark Cuban on the Bankless podcast, and one of the things that he talked about from a macro perspective and how fair on cryptocurrency markets, as he said, in these times, right, and he compared what's going on now similar to the dot-com bubble, and he said what you'll see is a lot more mergers. So a lot of those projects that have developers leaving will simply be abandoned projects, and those developers will wind up going to another block. So I'm very curious, at the end of all this, which blocks emerge. I know that Polygon has I don't know if it's a partnership or whatever program they're in with Disney, which accelerates their growth. Excited about them. Maker just had some news today. They were the first blockchain. I'll find exactly what it is, but essentially they did a loan directly from the block with a bank, and they were the first. Maker is a cryptocurrency that I'm pretty high on because I really like their stablecoin, DAI. But other than that, there's a lot of fluff. I want to continue to buy, and I'm going to continue to buy Bitcoin. I just worry about the world markets in general. And the last thing I will say on the Bitcoin portion is what we are seeing with the network increasing and how many more people are getting on to Bitcoin globally, the whales have less effects. So I think that's probably the most interesting from a technical analysis standpoint. And you can look at Jamie Dimon's comments and his comments directly when he was making bearish cases and then having subsidiaries of JP Morgan Chase buy Bitcoin. You know, that's all shown. But he's made those same exact comments as of late, within this past year. And you can see it having a lesser and lesser effect. You can see people accumulating Bitcoin and it having a lesser effect on the price. So I think that's really something that I'm really looking forward to, where there will be less players in the world and in the financial space that have a direct impact on the cost of whatever cryptocurrency winds up being mass adopted.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think some of the volatility coming out is going to be a big proponent to help Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies move forward. And as well as I do agree that this is kind of similar to the dot-com bust, just in the crypto space.
Yeah, when you're looking at this, like you're saying, those are a lot of what I look at, the number of wallets, how people are coming on to Bitcoin, or more people using Bitcoin, all that kind of stuff is sort of a way to pull out the volatility that you'll see because of the leverage. So to me, the number of wallets, the HODL waves, that's really tells a lot of the story of Bitcoin, because the price up or down, it goes so crazy because of the crazy volatility and leverage that everyone has.
And that's another thing too. So if we can see the statistics of the people who are coming into this network and adopting it and holding their assets there, what does that mean for the stock market? And that's really where it is that I kind of have lost a little bit of confidence in the stock market, because I believe that, you know, I am 27, and this feels like the third digital revolution in my life. The first having been social media with MySpace, Facebook, and what Facebook has become today. The second with entertainment. I just listened to Matt Damon today on the Hot Wings podcast, and he talked about how DVDs don't exist anymore and how that has completely changed the movie industry, because now you have to make all your money at release. You know, before you were making your money at release, and 6 months later you had DVDs come out, and that was like a second release, second wave of revenue. So I'm very curious to see, you know, cash is, I don't know about you guys, but I hate having cash. I'd much rather have my phone, much rather have my card, Venmo somebody, Zelle somebody. So I see that also playing into a factor. And I don't think anybody in our lifetime would have thought that cash isn't, the physical money itself isn't valuable. But all these things are real factors in how we live our life now. So, you know, I'm looking at these in how I'm going to invest.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It did. Overall, it's a crazy space right now. And I'm the stock market is in an odd place, but I'm still buying the stock market. I'm still looking at that. And I agree with your different waves and how everything's evolving. And that I think that Bitcoin can make a different huge monetary swing overall.
I definitely have to, I want to say that I love your, the semiconductor play for sure. I definitely love that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a bad habit of betting against good companies, and TSMC is a good company. But there's a lot of reasons to be bearish on it. So everyone's so bullish on semiconductors. The market sentiment around semiconductors is so bullish, even though there's so many bearish narratives, and it is ready for. There's no doubt that these companies are massively over ordering chips right now because of these shortage. So once all those orders get fulfilled, they're going to start ordering less, and then they're going to have massive inventory. It's just the swings inventory has. It's going to hit semiconductors, and then on top of that you add the whole Taiwan China mess. It's there's a lot of reasons to be bearish in that industry that I think people are ignoring because they're just too bullish.
Yeah, I was having a little bit of connection problems. I'm not really sure what happened, but I didn't catch a lot of that.
Yeah, no worries. Anything else, John, you want to talk about, or should we call it?
I'm out. I want to say thank you guys for your time, and I really appreciate it. You know, I really learned from you guys, and thank you so much. Keep it up.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, really appreciate you coming on and asking questions and putting in your thoughts on the market and things. But no, I don't have anything. I guess I can go ahead and wrap it up. Do you have anything left?
No, just be safe, y'all.
All right, sounds good. Well, thanks for joining the Just Swing It podcast. We will see you guys next week. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any of the other platforms, you can come join us live. We usually start around 7:30, 8 o'clock Eastern time. So if you want to come join the conversation like G did and ask your questions or have a conversation with us, please feel free to do that. Or if not, you can continue catching us on those platforms and check out Fat Baby Funds here on Twitter.
The contents of this week's episode of the Just Swinging It podcast are for educational and entertainment purposes only. All persons are only given their opinions and are not to be considered financial advice. The Just Swinging It podcast isn't responsible for any financial actions you may take based on the conversations held on this show.